The Drum Corps History Podcast, Episode 57. The Drum Corps History Podcast, a deeper look into Drum Corps history. This week's episode, The Bridgemen, Part 2. Welcome back to the Drum Corps History Podcast. My name is Ron Allard from Dice Man Radio. The following comes in part from an article written by Pat Forker, George Lavelle, and Bert Lynch for A History of Drum and Bugle Corps, Volume 2, published by Steve Vickers of Drum Corps World. The Bayonne Bridgemen were serious title contenders in 1977. The Corps show started off with the Chiquita Banana drum solo along with Pagliacci as the opener, complete with the operatic Tragic Clown in tow. Jim Brady, arguably one of the best horn players in Drum Corps history, was the featured solo soprano. The Bridgemen won the World Open and DCI East titles before heading west to tour en route to DCI in Denver. After their announced third-place prelim show, several members were singled out by DCI personnel. The members under scrutiny were declared ineligible, subjecting the Corps to disqualification. The Bridgemen sued DCI to contest the disqualification on the grounds that there was no intent to have overage members march beyond their 21st birthday, since the Corps had replacement members on tour to take the spots of those members in question on the day prior to their birthday. A compromise was reached by which the Bridgemen were allowed to compete in the 1977 DCI Finals, but their score and placement would not be recognized in the DCI annals. Now, more than 25 years later, DCI included the official recording of that performance for sale with no change in the official standings. For the record, the announced score put the Bridgemen in fourth place. The stain of disqualification was difficult enough to bear, but it was uncertain if the Bridgemen could recover from such ignominy. The Hawthorne Muchachos could not fully recover from their disqualification in 1975 and never again approached the same level of championship contending. Again, the members went back to that endless well of inherent pride and wanting to prove their critics wrong as well as to restore their hard-earned good name, The Bridgemen returned in 1978 and finished in fifth place, the highest placement that year for an Eastern Drum Corps. Spanish Dreams was their trademark number in the repertoire that year, along with the Bridgemen Shuffle, a blue-cloaked rifle line, and endless hype motivations. At the end of the 1978 season, Ed Holmes retired as director. He had been the only director the Corps had known since its founding in 1965. Although Holmes and his wife never had children of their own, he always made it clear to the members that they claimed 128 children when asked. Jack Dames, another Bayonne native and longtime Drum Corps fan, succeeded Holmes as director and served in that capacity through 1981. The 1979 season introduced Gene the Dancing Machine and the Andrews Sisters to the field of drums and bugles. That year's tour took the Corps south to Birmingham, Alabama, along with the vestiges of the Northern Army of the Potomac, to witness a uniquely Bridgeman rendition of the Civil War Suite, where by chance the rebels emerged victorious in the heart of Dixie and the Corps placed sixth. Thunder and Blazes led the parade of circus animals onto the field in 1980. The Bridgemen wrested their fifth World Open title, dueling the 27th Lancers for Eastern supremacy and keeping close tabs on the Blue Devils with the Spirit of Atlanta in hot pursuit. The DCI finals saw the top four corps separated by less than 2 points, the Blue Devils emerging victorious, 27th Lancers a few tenths behind in second, and the Bridgemen placing third, their highest finish in DCI finals history. The Bridgemen drumline won its first of 3 consecutive high percussion awards that year, with high hopes for things to come in 1981. After a successful third-place finish in 1980, there were high expectations for the Corps in 81. The one factor that contributed to an underachieving 81 season can be attributed to a change in Corps chemistry. Gone were those members who had been with the Corps when it was St. Andrews. In their place were members who had come to the Bridgemen from other Corps and were taught different methods than those who were familiar with the Bridgemen way. This culture gap led to repeated internal disagreements among the members and between staff members. This had a pronounced effect on the Corps and its performance on the field. Arguably more talent than the 1980 Corps, it just didn't have the same Bridgemen magic of the previous 4 years. The Corps kept half the show from 1980 and replaced the Civil War suite with West Side Story. Inconsistent performances were common for the Corps in 81. It was at the DCI Midwest Regional in Whitewater, Wisconsin, that the Corps was bested for the first time since 1976 by the Garfield Cadets. The 0.5-point victory emboldened the Cadets to purposely march by the Bridgemen buses and revel in delight. This act, as well as the appearance of an impaled banana caricature on their food trucks at the 81 CYO Nationals, served to motivate the Corps and enable others to resolve their differences. The Cadets did not beat the Corps again that year. The Corps finished fifth in prelims at the DCI Championships held in Montreal, beating Phantom Regiment by 1 point. But in finals, the Corps did a lackluster performance and lost to Phantom by .005. We'll be right back. Shakur had a 0.1 point penalty due to a shoe coming off a member. It was a fitting way to end what had been described as a disappointing season. The percussion section, which had been the strength of the Corps throughout the whole year, had the highest highlight of the year by winning their second High Drums trophy. The drum line, which was even better than in 1980, was near the top in every show it was in. A highlight from 1981 was the Corps winning its fifth World Open title. It was the Corps' last title of any kind. After the year was over, Jack Danes, who became the second director in Corps history, resigned. As the 1982 season came, the members who had caused some of the internal friction of the previous season were gone. The new rookies coming in were excited to be bridgemen and understood what it took to be a member. The members' attitudes were great and the rallying cry, "The Magic is back." The Magic was certainly back on the field. The show, which included Shaft, Sophisticated Ladies, which is probably the most theatrical number the Corps ever did, Black Market, Juggler, Drum Solo, with introduction of the Rototoms, and Broadway Medley was a show for the members to perform and have fun. The audience loved it. The Corps looked like it was headed toward a top six finish as DCI championships neared, but a so-so performance at prelims placed the Corps in ninth behind the Freelancers. True to Bridgman style, they came out in finals to give the fans their money's worth, performing their best show of 1982. At the end of the show, the Corps put in the Bridgman feint, then got up and ran off the field. The place went nuts. This great show and the percussion winning High Drums for the third year in a row moved the Corps up one spot to pass the Freelancers for eighth place. This was the first time since the Corps became the Bananas that they were out of the top six. A six-year feat had come to an end. It didn't matter to the members. After all the problems the Corps had in 81, it was fun to be a member of the Bridgemen again. The percussion line of 1982 was unbelievable. Its score at championships that year was 19.5. This tied the Hawthorne Muchachos for the highest drum score ever at a championship. At a show in Pittsfield, Mass., the drums played a one-tick show, which in the day of the tick system was unheard of. Their score that day was 19.8 out of 20. The drum line was in year three of its four-year dynasty. This line of 1982 is considered by many to be the best during this run. Many changes happened during 1983 for the Corps and for Drum Corps in general. Bobby Hoffman, the architect of the Bananas, and longtime brass arranger Larry Kirshner were replaced with Dave Bandy and Frank Doherty. The staff also wanted to change the Corps on the field. The gimmicks people were used to were replaced by a more sophisticated show. At the same time, DCI had decided to do away with the tick system. In its place was an opinionated system. Both of these decisions were fatal for the Corps until mid-season. At the first show in Lynn, Massachusetts, the Corps scored a 47.15, which was at the time the lowest score the Corps had ever received, and the Corps is in the history books as being the Corps that had the lowest score to start the season and still make DCI finals. The judges did not know where to put the Bridgemen in the new system. One night they had the Corps up on some Corps, then down on others. This up-and-down situation was by many points. The low point happened at DCI Midwest Championships in Whitewater, where disaster always struck the Corps. Here, the Corps failed to make the cut, placing 13th and losing to the Geneseo Knights by 2.5 points. This was the first time since 1974 the Corps missed a final show of any kind. The next night in Rockford, Illinois, the Bridgemen beat the Knights by 4 points, a 6.5-point turnaround in one night. At midseason, the sophisticated approach was not working, and the staff changed the show by putting in some gimmicks and making the show more appealing to the audience. Also, a couple days after the Midwest injustice, two judges talked to the Corps and explained and apologized for the inconsistency of the system and promised that it would not happen again. The members who had dealt with all of this had hearts of a champion, which most all the Bridgemen Corps had except in 81, and kept working hard to make sure the Corps would make finals. At the DCI Championships in Miami that year, the Corps did well in prelims, coming in 11th place ahead of the Skyriders and the Crossmen, who the Corps had battled all year. In finals, they put in some more gimmicks, with the Bridgemen Bird making a return by jumping out of a big present box. Also, the snare drummers put on blindfolds and played on rototoms during the first part of their drum solo, never missing a beat. At the end of the show, there was a ripple Bridgemen feint. The Corps stayed in 11th place. Lost in the entire shuffle was the Color Guard's third-place finish. Led by Scott Chandler of Blue Devil fame, the Guard had its highest placement. The percussion's quest for a fourth high drum trophy ended with a third-place finish. This was mostly due to the Corps going on so early in finals, and they didn't get the score they deserved. Many believed they were the best line in the country and should have won the title. This ended a remarkable four-year domination of percussion led by their caption head and arranger, Dennis DeLucia, and his right-hand man, Bob Dobrinsky. It was also supported by many other instructors and alumni who came back to help to continue the dynasty. The 1984 season saw another chapter come to an end. Many of the members who had grown up in the feeder corps, the cadets, and were from Bayonne decided to move on to other things in their lives. This left only a handful of people from the great town of Bayonne, a complete reversal from when the corps was started and everyone was from the city. Once again, it was decided to have the corps do a more sophisticated show instead of the gimmicks that were tried unsuccessfully in 83. This type of production was received with more success in 84. It included Overture from Merrily We Roll Along, Boogie Down, Aw Quit Your Moanin', and the Civil War Suite, which the Corps did in 79 and 80. Ray Fallon, who taught the Corps in 77 and 78, was brought back to run the horn program. With Fallon at the helm and the talent base better than in years past, the horn line became a big asset. The highlight of the season was a show at the Meadowlands, where it won high horns for the first time since 1980, beating the Cavaliers, 27th Lancers, and Crossmen. Corps battled 27th Lancers all year as both were fighting for one of the last spots in DCI finals. At the DCI Midwest Regional, again held in Whitewater, the Corps missed a cutoff as it had an 83, placing 13th. The Corps that knocked them out was the Velvet Knights, whose philosophy was the same as the Bridgemen, entertainment. This year was also the first one the Corps had its own food bus. It turned out to be a huge mistake. Food was left out and often became rotten, leaving the Corps hungry. One night on tour, the Corps came in from a hard day of practice, and each member was served a plate of popcorn. Not only were the members in a fight to make finals, but now they did not have food. The organization could not replace the food that was lost due to financial troubles it was having. Other Corps were helping out by sending food to the Corps. It left the Bridgemen in an unstable state in the eyes of DCI. An advertisement in Drum Corps World ran a few days before DCI prelims that basically said the Corps was broke. The ad read, "Don't let the curtain fall on the greatest show on earth," and depicted a banana having a curtain to send down upon it. Some board members and other boosters who didn't want the Corps to succeed put this advertisement in the paper. When the Corps reached DCI prelims in Atlanta, they knew they couldn't give up. They had a good enough performance to get into finals, or so they thought. As the Corps was getting its picture taken, the score was announced and the members realized they did not make it. Shock and disbelief came over the Corps. They ended up in 14th place, losing to the Velvet Knights, who basically now had the identity introduced by the Bridgemen, and to the Troopers. It was a sad ending to a season that the members had fought so hard to make successful. As the Corps finished taking pictures, the same people who put the article in walked by and smiled. Most of the staff from the 84 season, including Dennis DeLucia, who had been with the Corps since 76, were gone. DeLucia would later have success with many other Corps, including the Star of Indiana and the Crossman. The board brought back Bobby Hoffman, hoping he would be able to recreate the magic again as he had when he was with the Corps from 76 to 82. The show that year was a great one for the Bridgemen, Christmas in July, complete with a big Christmas box under which the Corps started the show, the horn line and drum line in elf outfits, and the guard and Mrs. Claw outfits. They had snowball fights, Santa Claus, and even Baby New Year. After the first half of the show, the Corps changed out of their get-ups and back into the yellow coats. The second half was Come On Dance With Me, followed by Imagination. This Corps did not have the guns to pull it off. If this show had been performed any other year, it would have succeeded, but it was not to be. This season, the Corps was not very competitive, finishing near the bottom at every show. At a competition in Waterbury, Connecticut, the Corps scored a 32.40, which is the lowest score the Corps ever received. It is ironic that this was where, just the previous year, the Corps won their last show ever. The Corps hit bottom at DCI East in Allentown, Pennsylvania, where it had one of the greatest moments in its history in 77 when it won the DCI East title. This year, the Corps had one of its worst performances ever. The Corps placed 25th out of 26. At the DCI Championships in Madison, Wisconsin, the Corps placed last in open class. The board made the wrong decision by not giving the 1984 staff another season to produce a show. The outcome might have been a lot better had the staff from 84 returned. After 85, it was decided that the Corps would go inactive for the 1986 season. After a year's absence, the Bridgemen started up again. With a new staff and new financial backer, the Corps set out to capture the magic it once had. The show was in two parts. The first was a recap of the Bridgemen's greatest hits, and the second was High Crime, Mosaic, and Motown. Crowds liked the show and were very happy that the Corps had reappeared. An administration and staff meeting was held in April to decide in what division the Corps would compete. The meeting decided the Corps' fate. It only had 65 members and could not compete against open-class Corps with 128. The right decision would have had the Corps compete in A60 and go against Corps the same size and reestablish the program instead of going against the big boys and getting slaughtered. The decision was made to go open. Ego rather than reality prevailed. The attitude that the Bridgemen should not lower themselves by being anything less than an open-class Corps won the day. This proved to be devastating. They were soundly defeated in every open competition. At DCI East, the Corps finished last, and at DCI quarterfinals, they were 23rd out of 24. This was the Bridgemans' last show performance at DCI. The Corps started out with better numbers than the year before in 1988, having close to 85 kids at the first camp. This did not last, as over the next few months the numbers started to dwindle and the Corps started to have money problems again. The executive director informed the staff at the end of the February camp that he would be folding the Corps. The staff pleaded with him to give it one more month and give the kids a chance to obtain the money that was needed to go on. He gave in, and at the March camp, money was brought in by the members who, with the staff, thought they had done enough to have the Corps continue. It was also decided that the Corps would compete in A-60, a decision that was made a year too late. At the end of the camp, the Corps marched in the West Orange, New Jersey St. Patrick's Day Parade, where the camp was held. It was here that the Bridgemen made their last public appearance because the executive director folded the Corps the next day. He just forgot to tell the members or the staff. What a sad ending for the greatest entertaining Corps of all time, a Corps that was ahead of its time and that changed Drum Corps for the better. That concludes this week's episode on the Bridgemen Part 2. Please join us again next time as we take a deeper look into Drum Corps history. This podcast is produced and sponsored by DiceManRadio.com.